Tonight into Joel chapter number 2. Joel in the Old Testament chapter number 2. I have a thank you card here from Sister Kit. Says thank you for me and my family for the cards, condolences, and also for the flowers from the church. My father, Bill Wilkerson, was very touched by your thoughtfulness, and I personally thank you and all you have. Thank you for all you have done for me. It was, or it has been a blessing. May God richly bless each of you, your sister in Christ, Kit, and we'll put that on the board there in the back. But just remember Sister Kit, her family, in this time of trial, this time of loss, and then be in prayer for the families that are still dealing and still getting over the loss of loved ones. And those that are going through it this week, we have a funeral Wednesday afternoon for Bobby Stubbs. Just remember Nancy and her children and their grandchildren as we go through this time with them. And just pray that in the midst of all this, something will be done, something will be said, something will transpire that helps some heart and life to realize their need for a Savior. They need comforted. They need encouraged. They need strengthened. But what we need more than anything is Jesus. Amen. Amen. If we have Jesus, we have all that we need. If you have found Joel chapter number 2, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call for a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. And those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" Brother Jim, would you take rend your hearts and not your garments? God is wanting to see his church come to a place where they get real. Amen. We've got a lot of phony Christians. We got a lot of phony worship. We got a lot of phony repentance. But God says it's time to get real. He said, you need to rend your hearts and not your clothes. In ancient days when people were trying to show that they were sorry and they were mourning for something and they were grieving over something that had transpired, they would rip their garments. And it was a big thing back then because the garments were a very precious thing. To make a garment took a lot of time and a lot of effort. And most folks maybe only had the one garment that they wore and that they kept upon them. And that's why it was, as we preached last week and in the Old Testament there in Leviticus, you can find out that the garment was so important to an individual that he could pledge his garment as down payment, as collateral on a loan or in a business dealing. But you wasn't allowed to keep the man's garment overnight because that's all he had to keep warm. That's all he had to cover him. That's all he had for his own self. So for an individual to rend their garment in sorrow was a great sign of what they were feeling and what they were expressing. But, you know, it got to be such a practice that the people would run around and they were acting like they were just getting so close to God and they were drawing so close to God, and they began to make pretense in several things. Jesus accused the priests of wearing repairing their phylacteries and making them so big that everybody could see that they had their phylacteries, that little box that you see. If you see the Hasidic Jews over in Israel, and you see them in New York and a lot of cities, but you'll see them, that they'll walk around and they'll have a band around their head with the little box. That's a phylactery. It contains the scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6, the portion of scripture that's called the Shema. And they were there. It reminds them of their allegiance to God, and how they're to reverence God and to seek His word, and how to seek everything about God in their lives. And the Pharisees, they would make these great old big ones. You see them, when you see them, they're generally real small. They're maybe 3/4 of an inch of a cube, small, and they have the little bit of scripture written on it, and it's placed in there. But Pharisees, they wanted everybody to see that they had one, and they wore it. They did it to make pretense. They made it so that everybody could know. Rending the garment became so common a practice that they would just do it out of pretense. They would just do it so that everybody could see. Look, they feel so adamant about this. They ripped their garment. But God is telling His people. He said, "I need more than your pretense." He said, "I want your heart." Amen. You know, God doesn't need all our pretense. He doesn't need all the sacrifices and the things. We'll see this in a few minutes. He owns it all anyway. But He says He wants our hearts. And what He's telling the people here, it's time to get real. Amen. I want to preach on that thought tonight. It's time to get real. I tell you what, we look around and we can see the condition of our nation. We look around, we see the condition of our community, of our cities. We see the condition of our families and our homes, of families that are destroyed because of sin, of families that are ripped apart because of drugs, of families that are ripped apart because of alcohol, families that are ripped apart because of sexual perversions and everything else. It's just unheard of. It's unprecedented of the way that it has taken place in our country today. And it seems that instead of our politicians doing anything to correct this, the politicians are only adding fuel to the fire. Amen. That they're not helping the problem at all. The only help that America is going to find, the only help that we're going to find for our families and our communities, our churches, everything else is getting real with our sin, getting real with ourselves, and getting real with God. You see, there is a problem in verse 12. And the first part, He says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart." You see, America and our churches today, they have turned their back on God. We're worried more about the program. We're worried more about the form and fashion of worshiping. We're worried more about making sure that all the dots are there and all the T's are crossed and everything else than we are about just worshiping God and preaching in truth. God said, it's time to get away from all the fancy worship and all the programmed worship, and it's time to get real. It's time to turn your hearts back to me. Amen. Amen. You know, Israel, or Judah here especially, as Joel is writing these words, has been through a travesty. You go back and you read in chapter number 1, and it's just one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. What the palmer worm has left, the locust is going to eat. And what the locust don't eat, the canker worm is going to eat. And what the canker worm don't eat, there was another worm in there, it's going to eat. And what the worms haven't ate, the enemies of the nation are coming in and they're destroying it. Does it sound familiar? It just seems like one thing after another. The progression the results of sin are just pouring in upon the nation. Look around at America. One thing after another, after another. Look in our communities. Look in your homes. Look at our families. How many families actually sit down and eat together anymore? We don't do it. Amen. The fabric of the American family has been destroyed. There used to be an old saying that the family that prays together stays together. How many families Spend time in prayer together. How many husbands and wives spend time in prayer together? How many individuals even spend time in prayer? God says, it's time to get real. It's time to turn your hearts back to me. There's a problem, folks. The only way that we're going to face the problem, the only way that we're going to see any kind of a help in the midst of the problem that we have is to turn our hearts back to God. God's people today are just like the people that were here. They want to worship God half-heartedly and with a form and a fashion of godliness, and they wonder why God don't answer prayer. They want to worship God half-heartedly, and they wonder why God don't give them peace. They want to worship God half-heartedly, and they wonder why God has allowed all these travesties to happen in their nation. I tell you why. We want to worship God half-heartedly. We want to give God a half-hearted relationship with a wholly committed and loving and merciful God. He's given us everything. He's committed. You know, I've shared with you before the difference between being involved and being committed. How many remembers? Two people. Three people. Four people. If you had breakfast this morning and you ate bacon and eggs, the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. Amen. The pig gave everything. Our God is committed. He gave everything. He's done everything. He has supplied everything that we need. But we only want to half-heartedly worship Him. He says, turn to me with your heart. There's a problem. If we see the problem, you know, once you realize there is a problem, if you're riding down the road and you got a problem in your car, sooner or later you're going to have to check on that problem. Amen? Sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with that problem, or that problem's going to deal with you. Amen? I tell you what, you can ignore them noises. Amen? You can ignore them noises. You can turn the radio up a little louder. Amen? You can put your earbuds in. You can do whatever you want to. You can ignore them noises, but them noises are going to come back to haunt you. We can ignore our problems, and that's what we tend to do sometimes. We don't want to deal with them, because the way that God wants us to deal with them is to get them out of our lives. Amen? And when we don't want to get them out of our lives and we let the problems go, the problems begin to fester, and pretty soon the problems are causing us problems that we hadn't even imagined. We thought the problem was over there, but now the problem has manifested itself over here. Amen? We thought the problem was with our spouse, but now we find out that we have a problem with our kids. We thought the problem was with the neighbors, but now we find the problem is in our own house. We thought the problem for many years was in the inner city. That's the only place you had all these drugs and murders and all these things taking place, and sin just running rampant like it was. Man, it's all these hell holes that we call cities. And that's the only place that all these problems were. And we ignored it spiritually. And now it's come home to haunt us. Amen. God says you need to see the problem. It's your half-hearted worship. It's your half-hearted commitment. He says, turn to me with your whole heart. See the problem, then we see the plea. Therefore now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. God's people need to get serious. We need to get real about the spiritual condition. You know, I was getting discouraged. Why? Because we've been in the same problem Judah was. We've been in a drought. Amen? It's been a long time since we've seen souls get saved, and here recently we just seen things change. We've been a long time seeing God move, and God just spoke to my heart, it's time to get real. It's time to get earnest. We need to be earnestly praying for every service in this church that God would touch some heart, touch some life, save some soul, make a difference in somebody's life, some way that it needs to be touched by God. And we need just to pray earnestly that God would just have free course and free reign. And we need to quit coming into the house of God half-heartedly. Some people come in here that they're already waiting to get out before they even get in. Amen. I posted something this week. How many of y'all seen that thing I posted? Preacher stands in danger. Amen. Every Sunday he stands in the pulpit and he stands between people and their lunch. Amen. Some people done thinking about lunch before they even get to the worship hour, before they even get to the worship service. Man, we got to get our hearts and minds on God. He said we got to come and we got to seek Him and plead with Him and search Him out with our whole heart. Stop putting on the show. In verse 13 rending your garments and not your heart. He said in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search with me with all your heart. God is a full-time God, and God requires a full-time sacrifice. He requires a full-time heart. He requires a full-time love, a full-time honor, a full-time reverence, a full-time care. He don't want a half-hearted Christian. He wants a committed Christian. Amen. We got to get real. We need to get real. His plea with the people is to quit putting on the show and get real. Quit pretending and get real. Making a sacrifice that's acceptable unto God. Look here in verse 14. Even question whether his people will sacrifice or not. It isn't a question with a question mark, but it's a pretense to a question. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. When God begins to plead with us and pleading whether we're even going to come and we're going to sacrifice, in other words, whether we're going to surrender, whether we're going to worship, it's getting kind of bad, isn't it? God says, who knows if they'll even come in and leave the sacrifice that's required. That's the way they worshiped then. They brought the sacrifice. Their meat offering and their drink offering. What was their sacrifice that was brought to worship God? What was brought to reverence and to honor Him. And God's pleading with His people here, and He doubts that they'll even come and really worship, really sacrifice. Man, what do we have to sacrifice? The sacrifice of praise. Amen? The sacrifice of our time and our abilities, the sacrifice of all that we have, giving it unto Him. It's time to get real. The sacrifice of a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, God said He won't refuse. Why? Because souls are going to hell, because lives need a touch from heaven, because folks are standing in need. People need the Lord. Amen. And the only way they're going to find the Lord is when God's people get real about desiring to see God move and desiring to see souls saved and desiring to see lives changed. You want to see something happen in your family, get real with God. Amen. Amen. You want to see something happen in your life, get real with God. Amen. And He's not talking about what you can give Him, because you can't give Him anything but one thing. He owns it all. Over in Psalm 50, let me go back. I wasn't going to read it, but let me go. I didn't print it out. I wasn't going to read it, but I think this psalm is so relevant. This psalm is so real. In verse 7, it says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offering, to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? He's not interested in that. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of thy trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. See, God, he already owns it all anyway. All the money that's in your wallet, it all belongs to him anyway. Amen. You know what? You know how long it can stay in your wallet? As long as he decides it's going to stay there. Amen. You know what he told Israel? He said, look, I can blow on it. It'll disappear. He said, I can make your wallet have holes in it to where your money just falls plumb through. He said, but it's not about your money. He said, see your sacrifices, your goats. He said, I won't reprove you. I'm not going to get on you about this. But I want you to realize something. He said, I don't need them. I don't need them. See, sometimes when we get the idea that God needs us, God doesn't need us. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your time. God doesn't need anything, but God wants to use it. Amen. He said, it all belongs to me. I don't need it, but I want it because it shows me that you're willing to trust me. It shows me that you're willing to depend upon me. God says it's time for us to get real and quit playing around about who he is and what our relationship is with him. You know, I like everybody walks around, you talk to everybody and you witness, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, you know, the Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble. Amen. I'm glad you believe in God, but have you surrendered to God? Have you trusted God? Have you made him your all in all? Have you made him the king of your heart, the king of your life? Have you set him on the throne where he belongs? That's what's important. And that's what God is worried about. It's not whether you know him. Amen. I know a lot of people, and I know of a lot of people that don't have a clue who I am. I've met people. I've talked to Senator Joe Biden face to face, this close. Amen. Couple of occasions. I won a President's Award at Amtrak, and they had, used to have a big hoo-ha about it, and Senator Biden was there, and he come around. He made it a point to talk to all the people that had won, and, you know, said, hey, man, what'd you do? And, you know, told him what we'd done, how we'd done it, and, you know, the progress it made and everything. I mean, he wouldn't know me today. If I seen him face to face, he wouldn't remember who I was. That don't mean a thing. Amen. It don't mean a thing. You can say, I know God. I know all about God. But does he know you as his child? Does he know you as one of his own? As one of his people? He says, I'm not worried about all the sacrifices, but I want to know if I have your heart. He says, turn unto me with your whole heart. Come back to where we started. Let's get real here with this again. I don't even know if you would offer an offering. There's a plea for God's people to get real. Oh, you're willing to get real tonight? Amen. Are we willing to get real? How many of you got lost loved ones? You willing to get real? How many of you got friends that you care about? You willing to get real? How many want to see your loved ones saved and being able to go to heaven with you, being able to walk on the streets of glory with your loved ones as you worship Jesus and go, man, wouldn't it be wonderful just to go hand in hand with all your family, your friends and your loved ones that have gone on before you and just singing glory and praises unto the Lord and to the King in community, one with another, because you've all went by the blood of Jesus. Well, if you want to do that, it's time to get real. The time hasn't ended yet. Time's not run out yet. There's still lives that need to be transformed, hearts that need to be changed, souls that need to be saved. Friends, God said, it's time for the church to get real. Amen. Amen. People want healing. We have loved ones that need healing. Man, if you believe that, it's time to get real. Amen. People are needing help of all kinds in every situation. If you believe that they need help and you want to see them get help, it's time to get real. But God has a plan. Amen. He has a plan right here. He said, look, it's time to get real. But this is how you're going to do it. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You know how he tells us to do it? It's in collective worship. Amen. It's in collective gatherings, getting together. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion and assemble the people. He's not peculiar. He says, even the children, even the little ones that give suck, even the babies, the children, the old men and the old women, the moms and the dads, the bridegrooms and the brides. He said, let them forsake everything. Let's get real with this thing. And let's get together and let's call on the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, Charlestown, but I'm sick of seeing what's going on in our families. I'm sick of seeing what's going on in our communities. I'm sick of seeing what's going on in our church. What do you mean by that? I'm sick of seeing people coming in and needing a change in their life and going back out the same way they came in. I know it's their choice, but I think it's time if we get real and we get serious, we'll see God doing something in a mighty way. Amen. Amen. Said, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from the... And yeah, we all got things that we can turn from. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we always want to think about somebody out in gross, immoral sin. We've all got things that we place more important before God. It's time to get real. It's time to let the jobs take second place. It's time to let our favorite pastimes take second place. It's time to let all these things that keep us and hinder us from drawing closer to God take second place. He said, if my people who are called by name, my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Praise God. We want to see him do something. It's time to get real. Amen. And the only way to get real is just to get together and say, God, here we are. God, take my whole heart and let it be used to your glory. Take my whole life and let it magnify you. Take my life to where when the enemy and his crowd looks from without, they're not saying, look, they're just half-hearted. They're not committed. They don't care. But they'll see a group of crazy people on the corner of Route 7 and 267, right outside of Charlestown, outside of Northeast, that aren't afraid to trust God, aren't afraid to call on God, and aren't afraid to depend on God to do what's needed in people's lives. And you know what? Things are happening down there. Things are changing, and their lives are coming in. That church broken, and they're going out restored. People were coming in hungering and thirsting, and they're going out satisfied spiritually. People are struggling on the outside, but when they get on the inside, they find a peace that passes all understanding. Let me tell you something. If we get real, praise God, just imagine how real God can get in our hearts and our lives and can get real in our church tonight. Amen. And there's a promise that he will. Look back in verse 27 and 28. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Scooch down to 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Praise God, I don't know about you, but I want to see God pour his spirit out upon his people. Amen. And I want to see things begin to happen. I want to see God do a work in our church like he said he was going to do in the midst of Israel. He was going to be in the midst of them, and he was going to be their God, and they would never be ashamed. And his spirit was going to be poured out. And whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord for deliverance. Praise God, Tammy called upon him for deliverance this morning. And what did he do? He saved her soul. Bless his name. Praise God, I'm glad he's faithful to everything that he's ever said that he's going to do. Every promise he's ever made, he's kept. Every promise that's promised that hasn't been kept yet, I can be assured of will be fulfilled, because he's never not fulfilled his promises. And he said that one day soon he's coming back to receive his church, his bride, and to take them to the home that he's prepared. They shall be his people. He will be their God. They'll be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. We'll worship him through all the ages. And the only thing that we'll worry about from day to day, well, there won't be no time, but from moment to moment, from eternity to eternity, we'll be spending our time with him and worshiping and glorifying his precious name. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time to get real. It's time to get real. Amen. Man, my heart just got stirred this morning. Seen people coming to the altar getting help. Seen people coming to the altar to get saved, to get their lives rededicated, to get burdens lifted. Man, I'm thankful that we serve a God that still honors his word, is still true to his promises. And friends, if you want to see God do something, just trust him. It's time to get real. Man, do you have a need in your life? A loved one that needs a touch? A loved one that needs salvation? A loved one that needs to be lifted from a burden that they're bearing? It's time to get real. Do you have a problem in your life that you are beyond coping with and dealing with? You're at the end of your rope. Hey, man, just reach out and touch the hem of the garment, and you'll find out just how real it is when you get real. The Lord says, turn to me with your whole heart. He said, rend your hearts, not your garments. It's time to get real. So we stand on our feet tonight. I wonder,